Now, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a minute. Check y'all. Okay, you can open your eyes. Yeah, right. How do you all like my mask? If you don't, will you take me to task? Behind these hold eyes is a choice to disguise. Do you like who I am? I'm afraid to ask. Now, kids, don't ever wear masks in life. Be who you are. You're all wonderful children. You're wonderful lives. Be who you are. I look forward to seeing what God has put inside of each of you. Okay, you are excused. I'm not sure if I am, but you're excused. Masks and costumes are fun, aren't they? They can be dangerous, though, can't they? You know, they don't cut the eyes right. You can't see where you're walking. You might even be allergic to some of the properties of the costume and not realize it. There's all kinds of potentials. And when people can't really tell who you are, it can have disastrous results. Do you know that? I was reading a true story, happened a week ago Saturday night in a city. I love the city name. It's called Freedom. Freedom, Pennsylvania. Did you read about that? 9-year-old girl has a black outfit on of some sort, a black hat, and a white tassel. And she's outside her home on a hill, and somebody who I believe was kind of three sheets to the wind, but not quite in their best thinking, thought she was a skunk and shot her. He shot her in the arm. And then he shot her in the neck. And he shot her in the back. And he shot her in another spot. Can you imagine that little girl? She's just out having fun. Somebody mistakes her for being something she isn't. Now, if he'd have gotten close enough, he would have recognized she didn't smell like a skunk, but apparently he didn't get that close. Of course, if he was three sheets to the wind, he had his own aroma. But, yeah, everyone who knows that. The story before us is the story of Jacob and Esau, where Jacob puts on a mask, so to speak, covers who he really is to try to get something in life. Now, do you know that people wear masks emotionally for a number of reasons, one of which is they think no one will like me if they know who I really am? The second reason people wear masks is they think, well, it'll help me get something that I wouldn't get in my own face, in my own life. And the other one is I'm so disfigured, I feel so horrible, I don't want anybody to see who I really am. This, by the way, is the great reason why we need to be a believer, because God already knows everything about us. He knows the things we don't want to even think about. In fact, he has already healed and removed a lot of stuff you'll never know. Aren't you glad? Thank God. I'm so glad he didn't open it up and go, oof. He didn't do that. While we were yet, what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Keep in mind, God doesn't change our personality. Who you are as an individual is who God created. What he wants to do is redeem it and restore it so that you can serve him as he wants you to, and you can have a fulfilled life. You're not going to change suddenly into this other outgoing or inward or whatever person. If you are, your lips will fall off or something. I mean, it just won't be who you are. You can tell if you try to be like other people. It doesn't fit well in your skin. How many have ever tried that? You know, you go to a job or you go somewhere in a social setting through the years and try to be somebody you're not. It doesn't generally work. So in the 26th chapter, or 27th chapter rather, of the great book of Genesis, 1 to 13, we're going to read it here. And I'm going to ask you to stand under the word if you can. Please stand. You'll be very grateful that you weren't worshiping in church where Dennis and Marianne were, because when they sing their contemporary music, they stand for 30 minutes. Okay? So just any given time, you can just be grateful that we don't stand that long. And by the way, when we stand before the presence of the Lord, it will be forever. He'll give us the ability to do so when we're not kneeling and yielding, okay? But at any rate, Genesis 27. Great story. You know, I have a real affinity for twins, in case anyone's interested. And one of the things I think is very fun to me is there's a twin in the patriarchs, is Jacob, and there's a twin in the disciples, Thomas, who's also called Didymus, and that is means twin. God put twins on both ends. So imagine how much I love that, because I'm the one that made the twin. I came up behind her, grabbed her heel, and said, "Get out of my way. I got stuff to do." No, I'm kidding. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and he said to him, "My son?" "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau, because every wife eavesdrops, right? When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.'" And the word Lord there is Yahweh. "Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. And then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." And Jacob, who's rather astute, said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." And so his mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." You may be seated. Personally, I think that's quite a strong statement. Let the curse fall on me. Are you kidding? Not in my mind. But here we are with a story of a mask, of a costume. Why? Not even that Jacob wanted it. His mother wanted it for him. Now, the characteristics of these two twins, one, of course, is hairy, and one is smooth. They were fraternal. One was a skilled hunter, and the other guy was a skilled talker. He was a deceiver. That's what his name means, heel grabber. He grabbed his brother's heel. I don't think he wanted his socks because he wasn't wearing any then. But they had different priorities. There's a prior story here where Isaac, of course, gets the birthright because he's the eldest. And he allows it to be taken by Jacob for food. You know, you see those people along the sidewalk that say, you know, I'll work for food. He gave away his birthright for food. Do you remember something in the Garden of Eden that wasn't an apple, probably, but it was a fruit of some sort? It was food. We have to be awful careful in life that we don't allow the things we enjoy to become that thing that takes us away from the Lord. Do you know good things can do that? We always think evil things take us away from God. I don't believe that. Generally speaking, evil things and tragedy brings us to God. It is the good things, the things we enjoy, sometimes we tend to gravitate toward instead of the best, which of course is the Lord. Esau did not fight for his birthright, and he should have. He didn't fight for it. Have you ever had to fight for your faith? I'll tell you, when we got saved, we had to fight for it. I didn't punch anyone out, but we did have to fight for it. But the other thing is very important, and that's this. Never apologize for who you are as a person. In your general character, in your general personality. God created you just the way you are. And that's the person God's going to free. If you're trying to hide behind something else, you're never going to get your freedom because the mask is on. Right? That has to come off. There was a preference here in parentage. Isaac preferred the older, and Rebekah preferred the younger. You know what happens when parents prefer children? Therapy. Now, I do believe that some parents have more interests that are along the line of their children, certain ones maybe. You probably get along better with certain ones maybe than the others, based on your personality and your temperament. But one should still go out of their way to the one that maybe you don't feel as attached to that way, because they're all the children. Remember what happened to Joseph? He was preferred, and his brothers didn't care for it. It has long-ranging effects when that happens. 1984, there was a man that was leaving his parents' home, and this is what he said to his mother. He said, "Mother, I'm going to get my things and get out of this house. My father hates me, and I'm never coming back." And it really was a prophecy, because very few minutes later, his father shot him to death. That was the singer Marvin Gaye. When there's preference, or there's anger, or there's unforgiveness in families, it has long legs. God needs to free. God needs to heal. And Rebekah, she preferred Jacob for a variety of reasons, but one reason, when she was pregnant, and she was married to Isaac 20 years before she had a child, before she was pregnant. So again, she was barren. She had that brokenness of spirit, and the Lord blessed her with a double blessing. And the Lord said in a prophecy, "And there are twins in your womb. There are nations in there, and they will fight. And the elder," this has always been my favorite verse, "and the elder will serve the younger." Because I'm youngest. I gave that word out immediately, didn't I, when I got saved? But she knew, Rebekah knew from God's hand, that the youngest was going to be preferred. Doesn't mean he was loved more, by the way. It just meant he was going to be used. Now, you know what she did? She heard that, and then she took matters in her own hands. This is the problem. If God speaks to us, and when he does, we got to be very careful we don't take the script and write it ourselves. That's when we get in trouble. God says, "I want you to do such and such. I'm going to bless you this way." And then we just go merrily out and kind of do it ourselves. Didn't work for Hagar. Didn't work for Sarah. It's not going to work for us. There are residual effects that occur because of it. Now, the Bible's talking here about Rebekah, and I wanted to give you her name. The Hebrew root means hitching place or stall, a hitching place. and it means, in the Hebrew, a tie rope. Her personality is such that she wants to tie it all up herself. She wants the fatted calf. She wants the best for her son Jacob. And she's tying it up. You know what it ends up being? A noose. Whenever we get in the way, it usually becomes a noose. How many have ever tried to help God? Raise your hand. Yeah, we usually get a noose, don't we? That's more than not what occurs. Rebecca is not only Abraham's niece, she's also his daughter-in-law. And so there's a long history and a long story with that. But nonetheless, she knew her husband was old and feeble of eyes. He could not see. So what does she do? Well, first of all, the word dim here is kaha in the Hebrew, and it means to be or to grow dim and to darken. You know, when the eye starts to get darkened and you can't quite see. When we lived southeast in a bungalow, the landlord's son-in-law came over to help with a light or do something. I don't honestly remember why he came, but he came and he sat there and he explained to us. He goes, you know, where we live, we've lived there like 3 years. And it finally occurred to me, we're living in the dark. The whole house was dim. And it finally occurred to him that he only had a 30-watt bulb in his. 3 years later, he figures out he doesn't have the right wattage. Can you imagine? I mean, hey, even I know that much. And I don't know much. A lot of times we sit in the dark because we haven't plugged in to the light, the greater light. And we don't need to be in the dark because God is the light of the world. And so the deception comes in the family here, and it comes throughout all kinds of families. We were at some kind of party many years ago. Jan might remember this. Although she always tells me she forgets as she goes, so it's possible she has left it alone. But we were playing Uno, one of those games. And there was a gal that was there that apparently had some troubled things in her past. And the person to her right, I believe it was, laid down the last card and basically, in effect, won the hand or won that game. And the girl, just without even thinking, says, well, it's just like all the time. My family just dumps on me every time. Your family? They're not here. But let me tell you, when you have a mask and when you have a pain, it will come out at the most unusual places. I sat there, looked at her like she was from the planet. And what? I'm sorry for your family and your situation, and I pray for you, which I have since then. But the girl next to her just went, huh? What did I do? But things do come out sideways when they're not dealt with. So Rebecca did something that's kind of questionable on top of it. Then she went and told Jacob what Isaac had said. You know, we have to be awful careful when we release information to children and to other people and say, hey, so-and-so said this about you. Probably best not to do that, huh? It doesn't normally end well. But what Rebecca told him is, you go get it. You go take the choice ones. Bring them to me, and I'll prepare them. The word bring, or to bring it to you, is bow. And you can tie it up in a bow all you want, but if you're bringing the wrong stuff, it's not going to be the present God wants. Okay? Means to come in, to go in, and to bring it near. So he goes, well, I'm hairy, and I'm smooth, and he's hairy, and he's going to be able to tell, so you better do something. And if you don't, then my father will know I'm a deceiver. That's not something you want people to realize about you, is it? A deceiver. That Hebrew word, tara, it means to be a deceiver and a mocker. Did you know that when you deceive people, you're really mocking them? You're mocking their trust in you, you're mocking them as a person, and ultimately mocking God, really. It's very serious. Do not be a deceiver. he says, because I don't want the blessing to turn into a curse. The word bless here, barak, means to kneel and to bless. The truth is, you never get a true blessing from God unless you bow the knee to him. God doesn't give them out unless we yield to him first so that we're in his hands. Now, the other part of the story is he puts hairy skins, goat skins, down his arms, up the neck, everywhere around that the father would potentially touch. For this reason, because his eyes were dim, he had to deal in touch and sound. You know what happens as a Christian? This is why we need to hear the voice of the Lord, because otherwise we tend to go by feelings. And how many know feelings can be deceiving? You ever wake up and say, you know, I don't feel God loves me. Okay, well, that don't change the truth, because for God so loved the world, and you're part of the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Don't let feelings lead you. They should only be an indicator. If you allow them to control it, you'll be going down the wrong line. God, in his infinite mercy in this story, does bring forth Jacob. That is his intention. But there are consequences to deception. He ends up in a rift with his brother Esau that lasts for years. And actually, for Rebekah, we don't even know. We know she died ultimately. She probably died prematurely, because we don't see her at the end of the record. Never seek a curse on yourself. Okay? Not a good idea. Wearing masks can be deadly. A month ago today in Connecticut, and I mentioned this a little bit a couple times, a math teacher, a fifth grade math teacher, or not a math teacher, but he was a fifth grade teacher. He was summoned next door to his sister's house because there was somebody that he thought was kind of a thug outside, had a mask on, looked a little dangerous, etc., and he was nervous about it. So she called him over, and he came, and apparently the young man must have made some gesture that it made it look like he had a gun or a weapon of some sort. And then the man shot him and ultimately killed him. And when the mask came off, it was his own son. Masks can kill. They can also kill this way, because when you're under a mask, you're so focused on being enshrouded and being enclosed and being self-oriented of who I am and who I'm not, that you can't really see what God wants you to see either. And then you don't let people under the mask either. Gotta let people in. You gotta let God in. You gotta let the air in, because you can suffocate under there. What's the worst thing would happen if somebody knew who you really were? You'd be free. That's the best thing. What's the worst thing? There is no worst thing. Because a mask is for a momentary reason. A party, costume party, whatever. It doesn't serve a purpose throughout your lifetime. Now I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a minute. Because if you're here today and you're wearing a mask, you may not even know if you are. But you'd say, first of all, you know, but if you knew me, you just wouldn't like me. That's not true. That's what the devil wants you to think, but that's not true. Certainly God loves you, and if God loves you, then what does it matter what anybody thinks? He's the most important one. And we're going to sing this closing song, Great Hymn of the Church, Just As I Am. And if you're here and you know that you've worn a mask, you're hiding behind it, you're afraid to show who you are, Maybe you've been wounded in life and you're afraid to let people get close and let God close. Whatever the reason, if the Lord is just prodding you in your spirit, I want you to come up as we sing, "Just As I Am." Leave it all at the altar. God wants to touch you for who you are. He was willing to die for you the way you are. Why would he not restore you and help you to go forward in freedom and in light? Why don't you stand and come forward if you are in that category.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you summon us to come into your presence. And you said, without holiness, we will not see you. But we can't summon it on our own. We can't do that. But you did that for us through your righteousness, through what you have done for us. Lord, we don't have to wear masks. We don't have to hide behind a persona. We don't have to pretend at all. We can say, this is who I am, warts and all, because Jesus forgives, Jesus restores, Jesus will bring me into what he intends me to be. I don't have to deceive to get it. I don't have to take it into my own hands. I can keep it in his. Now we're going to sing the last verse one more time. I don't want you to miss. If you need to be up here, you need to tell the devil to take a hike, because you are God's property. Make sure you make a stand for him today. We'll sing it one more time.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise.
Hallelujah, Lord. Well, I'm going to ask another one of our journeyers, Roger, to come up and to close in prayer.
Well, this is a little different than usual because usually I don't have any idea. But I did think of something. We've been gone for 2 Sundays and went to a church that I dearly love in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and I felt the service was a real blessing to me. When I went to Columbia to visit our friends, we went to Christian Fellowship of Columbia, and at that church, sometimes the Lord really speaks to me, and it's not what the preacher is talking about. The preacher is talking about not hiding things, not wearing masks. What if Jesus came today? Would you be ready? Would you want to wait and come back again some other time? Or what? But that's not what I felt. It was a horrible feeling. If Jesus came back, my sister would be in hell. Now, we can't bring people to the Lord. We can just do what the Holy Spirit guides us to. What that told me is I'd better be ready, because I think he's going to be telling me to do something. And I don't want to mess it up, because I want to do anything I can to keep my sister from going to hell. And I think that's true for all of us. We all need to be ready. At any second, Lord better open a door for us to reach someone. It doesn't have to be a relative. Whoever it is, it's a child of the Lord, and the Lord wants him to be rescued, or her to be rescued. And I think that's just something we should be thinking about this coming week, well, more than just this coming week, for this coming week. So Lord, we just thank you for this service today. Thank you for helping us remember that we don't need to wear masks. And Lord, we just ask that you keep us alert and ready for your prompting. When you prompt us to come and speak or do something for someone who is lost, to cooperate with you, to lead them home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.